Conservative commentator Ben Stein wrote last week that the unemployed are a group of unskilled complainers and malcontents. Around the same time, former newspaper editor Ira Stoll called for cutting unemployment benefits for many so-called undeserving groups, including married individuals whose spouses have a job. And in Sunday's Wall Street Journal, Harvard economist Robert Barrow blamed unemployment benefits for keeping unemployment high. It seems as though a new attack on the jobless is always on the horizon, even as economic forecasts remain bleak. But this blame-the-victim mentality is uniquely American when compared to the attitudes of other developed nations. In France, Germany, and the Netherlands, governments discourage layoffs by temporarily subsidizing wages and allowing companies to cut pay. Or individuals work less hours, jobs are shared, and the government steps in with subsidies. In Germany, it's called short work, and the French say work less so all can work. My guest, John DeGraff, wrote an article for the latest issue of the Progressive magazine detailing these more flexible approaches to economic downturns. Not surprisingly, he finds that not only do businesses remain productive and competitive in the world market, but workers are happier. John DeGraff is the executive director of Take Back Your Time and the co-author of Affluenza, the All-Consuming Epidemic. He now joins me on the phone. Welcome to Uprising.
Thank you. Good to be on your show.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, as we're approaching Labor Day, we're going to see commentaries in the newspaper about the state of labor, about employment, et cetera, and, well, the lack of employment here in this country. How uniquely American is it that we have this approach to work ethic that involves just working harder and harder and harder and somehow making do with less pay, almost no vacation or sick leave?
Well, I think we've accepted that, and we have the philosophy that we shouldn't mandate anything from business, and that will do terrible things for the economy if we restrict business in any way or its operations. And I think it does make us very, very unique. It doesn't mean that Americans love to work. That, I think, is one of the myths that's been out there, that all of this is voluntary, the long hours that Americans have put in and so forth. In fact, when you look at the Gallup poll, the daily Gallup poll, for example, it finds that Americans are 20% happier on weekends than on work days. They're 30 to 40% happier on holidays than work days. The polling finds that, in fact, the work day is one of the time spent at work is one of the least enjoyable activities for Americans, second lowest only to the morning commute, which is kind of the mother of all downers for people. But we just have refused to do things that every other industrial country in the world, and in fact most small and developing countries do, including things like family leave, paid sick days, obviously paid vacation time, and now in Europe various kinds of work shortening schemes in order to spread the work around.
Well, give us an example of one of these. Let's talk about France. I really like this slogan of work less so all can work. What exactly does that mean? I mean, my first instinct is, does that mean that, you know, people should work 30 hours instead of 40, but then do they get paid for only 30 hours versus 40?
Well, in France, they adopted the 35-hour work week in 1999 for 40 hours pay, so there was no drop in pay. That has been somewhat controversial, though it did actually decrease France's unemployment rate by at least a couple of points, and it still lasts. People mostly really like the 35-hour work week, despite some of the business complaints about it. There is a change now where if both employers and employees agree, people can work 39 hours a week. And what that is in France is it's spread out over the year. It doesn't mean you can only work 35 hours in 1 week, but over the course of the year's work, you can't average more than 35 hours. So some people work 40 hours a week or even more, but then they get much more vacation time. I have a cousin in Paris who works 41 hours a week on average, but he gets 10 weeks of vacation, another 5 weeks added to the 5 weeks that he already gets by law. So, you know, that's how the French do it. I don't think it's necessarily the most effective way to do these things. I really like the approaches in Germany and the Netherlands better.
Well, tell us what Germany and the Netherlands do that's different.
Well, one thing that Germany has done with the is a program called Short Work, as you mentioned, or Kurzarbeit is the German term for it. And what they do is they encourage companies during recessionary times to, instead of laying off workers, to shorten hours and keep workers on, and then they top up the workers' salaries using unemployment funds. Some states in the United States allow this, but unfortunately their budgets are often too low and they need federal support, and the federal government does not allow the use of unemployment except when people are laid off completely. The result of this program is that Germany has actually didn't really see any increase in unemployment, only the tiniest increase in unemployment during the recession. And now unemployment in Germany is actually lower than before the recession started, and the economy is doing quite well. The Netherlands has a different approach, which is now also adopted in Germany. It's called the Hours Adjustment Act. And what that does, I think it's one of the best approaches of all, it allows workers to actually reduce their working hours if they want more time with their family, if they want various other kinds of things. And they keep their benefits prorated, they keep their health care, they keep their hourly salary. And so often people who are maybe earning a little more but have a time in their life when they really need the time can make this choice and not lose their jobs, not lose their health care, all of those kinds of things. I think this program has worked very, very well. The Netherlands has a very low unemployment rate. It has the highest percentage of part-time workers in the world, but those part-time workers are not stigmatized and they earn decent wages. They have good benefits, and it's a model that's spreading to other places as well.
Now, here in the United States, it's essentially a fact that a person working full-time at minimum wage cannot afford an apartment in pretty much any city in the United States.
Absolutely not. And that is the other shame here, is that we have not seen any increase in real wages for workers since about the mid-70s. And for, of course, the people in the minimum wage, they've seen a real reduction in real wages. So in advocating shorter work time, I'm not suggesting that we not pay attention to issues like the minimum wage. I think we need to increase the minimum wage. It's not as high in real terms now as it was in 1968, for example. But I'm also advocating various forms of paid leave for people, which would benefit also poor workers, because if they had paid time off when they had a child, that would be an advantage because it's paid. Paid vacations. We see about 30% of low-income workers who don't get any paid vacation time at all. This is utterly unusual. There are only essentially five countries in the world that don't require paid vacations by law. And those countries are the United States, Guyana, Suriname, Nepal, and that paragon of human rights, Burma. That's it. Every other country requires paid vacation time for workers. So many of the things I'm talking about in terms of the paid leave options, of parental leave, sick days, we have 40% of American workers who get no sick days at all, 86% of restaurant workers. This is unheard of.
And even things like maternity leave and parental leave in general.
Parental leave, yeah. California and New Jersey are the only states that have any paid parental leave by law. The rest of the country doesn't have it. Now, there are only four countries in the world that don't require paid maternity leave by law, and those four countries are the United States, Liberia, Swaziland, and Papua New Guinea. So again, that's how unique we are. There are only a handful of countries that don't require paid sick days. The United States is just absolutely unusual. We think it's great and that it makes our economy huge and that we have the grossest domestic product and all of these kind of things. But the fact is that it's not good for workers, and ultimately it's not good for society as a whole. Certainly not good for our health, and it certainly adds to the expense of health care in the United States. I mean, we're spending half the world's health care budget. We're spending twice as much on health care per person as any other country in the world, and yet arguably we have the worst outcomes in the industrial world, the shortest life expectancy, the worst infant mortality, the worst maternal mortality, the highest obesity. If you grow up in the United States, you are twice as likely after age 50 to suffer from chronic illnesses like heart disease and type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, and so forth, as you would be if you lived in Europe, because I would argue of our stressful, overworked society. Overwork in America really has become the new tobacco. It has that kind of effect on our health.
Well, just listening to you is kind of depressing. My guest is John DeGraff. He's the executive director of Take Back Your Time and co-author of Affluenza, the All-Consuming Epidemic. And definitely check out his cover story in this latest issue of The Progressive, where he talks about a progressive strategy to improve the economy, work less so that more can work, and any of these various strategies that other countries, particularly in Europe, have used to successfully lower unemployment and perhaps have a happier society. So I want to go back to this issue of the fact that we have such low pay. Would you say in the United States, in order to implement such a strategy so that people work a little bit less, it has to go hand in hand with increasing hourly pay?
I think it certainly does for a large segment of the population. I think there's no question about that. It depends on how much people are making. And the problem with the United States is we are so stratified, and we have people making very high incomes, and then we have a large number of people who are extremely poor. So I think having a living wage as part of this is absolutely essential. Mm-hmm. If you look at the European countries, in most of these cases, the minimum wages in these countries approach $12 an hour. In some cases, they're even higher than $12 an hour. Those people don't pay particularly high taxes because they pay taxes, but they don't pay as the high tax rates that we see in Europe because they are low-income people. But they get many other benefits, free education, free health care, and so forth. So absolutely, I don't want to make light of the situation of those Americans who are subsisting on very, very low wages. They simply cannot reduce their hours without an increase in pay. But, again, the situation is not the same for everyone, and I think we need to be thinking along both these lines. But we need to understand that we cannot keep growing and growing as we are. We cannot assume that when we have increases in productivity and those cause automation and those cause the loss of jobs, that we will always make up for those jobs by adding more and more work at 40 and 50 and 60 hours a week.
Now, John, senators in Rhode Island and Connecticut have sponsored a bill that would allow federal unemployment to be used to fill in salary gaps when hours are reduced. Do you see this as a step toward the kind of system that you hope to see in the U.S.?
Oh, absolutely. I think what they're talking about is an American model of the German Kurzarbeit system.
Mm-hmm.
The economist Dean Baker, the progressive economist with the Center for Economic and Policy Research, has advocated that any new stimulus package include a sizable amount of money for a Kurzarbeit or shared work program to allow people to reduce hours but not lose their salaries, and therefore to make more workplaces in the economy. Now, the interesting thing about this is that Dean Baker is a progressive economist. He testified in favor of this in Barney Frank's House Financial Services Committee for this bill by the Senator Jack Reed of Rhode Island and Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro. But also testifying in favor of the bill, very surprisingly, was Kevin Hassett, who is an economist for the conservative American Enterprise Institute. And Hassett said, why wouldn't we do this? It worked in Germany. It's worked for employers, it's worked for employees, and it really doesn't cost a whole lot more.
Well, finally, let's talk about the fact that less work means more life, as you talk about in your article, and the fact that Americans are 20% happier on weekends than on workdays, but that is certainly no surprise. Not only would Americans be healthier, but likely happier if they simply worked less but kept their same pay? Or got a raise.
Yeah. I think there's no question that we could have both a happier and certainly healthier and more sustainable society, because we simply cannot grow on forever. I mean, if we try to solve everything through growth, we're going to make the Gulf of Mexico oil spill look like a picnic. I mean, it's just we are running into severe ecological limits, so we can have a better life in that sense, but we'll also be healthier. I mean, there's no question. One of the strange things we see is that when we have a recession in the United States, health actually improves, and part of that is because people, although they have, in a sense, less money, they have more time, and they exercise more. They grow some of their own food. They eat out, you know, less fat, less food in restaurants and things. They drive less and actually walk and bicycle more. So we see fewer traffic accident deaths. We see an improvement in air quality. We see less children's asthma and other respiratory illnesses. We're seeing that in this recession. I mean, that's one of the strange and ironic bright spots of the recession. Now, that doesn't mean we want the kind of unemployment and the suffering that we have in this recession. It just means that when we go back to full employment, we should find a different way to do that so people can keep their health and they can keep having the time to volunteer and to grow some of their own food and to share quality experiences with other people. This is what life needs to be about, not producing so much.
Definitely would have to agree with you. I certainly would like to be working less myself. John DeGraff, where can listeners find out more about your work? Is there a website?
Yeah, the website for my organization, Take Back Your Time, is www.timeday.org. So that's one place to go. You'll find out there, too, about our national campaign for a paid vacation law. And that bill is sponsored by Alan Grayson, the Democrat of Florida, was introduced last year that would give the workers who don't receive any vacation time at least a modest amount of vacation time.
So timeday.org, and listeners can certainly check out the latest issue of The Progressive for your cover story. John, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much. Take care.
You too. John DeGraff is executive director of Take Back Your Time, which is online at timeday.org. He's also the co-author of Affluenza, the All-Consuming Epidemic, and his article in The Progressive is called Working Less So All Can Work, a Strategy for Progressives.